We heard him before we saw him, of course. The ground shook as he approached. He strode in, threw down an enormous bundle of firewood, and then, to my horror, rolled a colossal boulder across the cave's mouth, completely sealing the entrance. We instinctively shrank back into a corner. He didn't look in our direction, but sat on a stool, and, with a tenderness that belied his grotesque appearance, began to milk his eager ewes and she-goats, humming and clucking to them like an old wet nurse as he did so. I'd never seen anything like him. Telamonian Ajax was a big man. Memnon the Ethiopian, who came to fight for the Trojans late in the war, he was reckoned a giant and probably counts as the biggest human I ever saw. But could I call this Cyclops human? He had arms, legs, a trunk, a head like a human, but the size of him, the monstrous ugliness, all made more terrible by that one eye in the middle of his forehead. Maybe it was his lack of a second eye which deprived him of enough sideways vision to have discerned us, but we were to discover that what he lacked in sight he made up for with the swiftest reflexes, keenest hearing. The milking finished, he went to rekindle the fire. The man behind me drew in his breath at the full sight of him in the firelight, a sound I could only just hear, but which made the Cyclops whip around to us with a growl.
"Oh, oh! And what have we here? Pirates? Thieves?"
The men whimpered, not that I blamed them. The sight and sound of him could have emptied the bladder and bowels of the bravest. Happily, Athena, Apollo, Hermes, some god took pity and fired me with enough courage to step forward and speak in a clear voice. "We are Achaeans, good sir, men of Agamemnon's army, on their way home from the war in Troy. The winds have not been kind to us, but we hope you might offer us hospitality in the name of Zeus, the stranger's patron." He stared down at me, and then let out a great snorting guffaw of a laugh.
"Zeus? Do you think the Cyclopes care that for your Zeus?"
He tried to click his thick, stubby thumb against his thick, stubby middle finger, but no noise ensued. He clapped his hands together instead, a sound like thunder.
"Hospitality? I've only spared your life because I'm tired. So, where'd you moor your ship, then? Up the coast or close by?"
I could sense this was a trap. "Ship?" I said, with what I hoped came across as a resigned and bitter laugh. "That's a joke. What ship we had was smashed by the rocks at the far end of the island. We were lucky to swim ashore and scramble to land." He said nothing, just stared with his one eye. And then, entirely without warning, he stretched out his hand and plucked up two of the men behind me. The poor bastards whined and wriggled in his hand like puppies. Then he smashed their heads down against the ground as casually as if he were banging out seeds from a pod. Their blood and brains burst out and soaked the floor. With a low growl of pleasure, he ripped the men apart like chicken wings and ate them raw, guts, flesh, bones and all. We wailed and cried out to Zeus in horror, but the Cyclops paid no attention. He picked up a great bucket of milk, which in his huge fist looked like a thimble, and washed his grisly meal down. One enormous belch, and then he laid himself down before the fire. Within seconds, the whole cave resounded with his snoring. I tiptoed forward, feeling for my sword. Straight down under the ribs, I thought. I could launch my whole body weight onto the sword. That should do it. And then I realized what a fool I was. One of the men whispered hoarsely in my ear,
Go on, sir. Do it. Do it, or I will myself.
No, you won't,
you idiot. Listen to me,
I hissed. When I was sure all the men had their eyes on me, I pointed to the blocked entrance of the cave.
Kill him and then what? With all our combined strength, we wouldn't have a hope of shifting that a finger's breadth. We'd die in here.
Let's wait until morning, and I'll see if an idea comes to me. Morning came, all too soon. The ogre woke up, scratched himself, let the most appalling noises emerge from his mountainous body, and staggered to his feet. His eye swept the cave and seemed to take us in, but he said nothing. Hooking the stool towards him, he set to once more and relieved his pleading livestock of the milk that had swollen their udders overnight. He dropped the last goat, and in the same movement snatched up another two of my men and crunched them down whole. Next he rolled the boulder clear of the entrance, went out of the cave, turned around and called his animals to him. When the last straggler had trotted out, he pulled the stone back as easily as if it had been a tunic button, sealing us in once more. The sound of his whistling to the flock faded away, and we were alone. We lit the fire again, more for light than for warmth.
Well?
I looked up. All eight of my men had their eyes fixed hard upon me.
Well, what? Any ideas, sir?
There was bitter irony in their voices, but I smiled. As it happens, I do have an idea. I suppose Athena had put it in my head. But then again, who put it in hers? Leaning against the cave's wall was an olive tree. This is to say, it had once been an olive tree, but for the Cyclops it clearly served as a shepherd's staff. A spear, I thought, since I had spotted two of them in that same place before and seen him pick up the other to take with him when he left the cave. Under my companion's puzzled gaze, I cut off a man's height from the trunk and set to, tapering the end into a point. When it was sharp enough to pierce skin, I rolled the end in the fire to harden it. Now, I said cheerfully, laying the pole down in the shadows amongst the mud and dung in the corner, why don't you draw lots to see which of you is going to help me tonight?
Help you do what, my lord?
They were brave men, but not very bright.
Well, what do you think? Pick my teeth? I'll need four of you to help me drive the sharp end into the ogre's eye.
They drew straws, and the four that won, or was it lost, were the exact four I would have chosen for the job. Maybe great-grandfather Hermes lent a helping hand. Nothing to do now but sleep, I said.